The Around the NFL Podcast is the real MVP.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some different heroes. We got your Mark Zessler, and we got your Chris Wessling. But to my right, gentlemen, this is a big deal. Host of Around the NFL on NFL Network. You know her also from the Top 100 Countdown. She anchors that coverage right now. She's hosting Total Access, our flagship program. Oh, my goodness. Lindsay Rhodes is in the studio. Hi, Lindsay.
Get excited.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, hey-o.
Wow, all right.
I like that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Lindsay.
Thank you. This does call for a celebration.
I approached Lindsay
because,
today.
Dan.
Yes.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
This is my first time on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And it's been brought to my attention that my co-host, Andrew Siciliano, has already been invited.
Drew has been here, yes.
Our producer, Michael Berger, has been a guest on the podcast.
We're still not sure how that happened, but yes.
I'm just saying, I'm trying not to be offended, but I'm very, very much so offended.
I think you can direct every complaint you have to Greg Rosenthal because he is directly responsible for those decisions.
We were also waiting.
Take this that up was with the guy who's not here.
We were a show just in formation in infantile stages back then. Now that we've started, we've rounded the curve, and we know who we are.
So you're saying
that's when we start to bring.
Well, and let's say
we weren't worthy of her before.
Let's skew positive.
There is some truth to that.
The old Zeuser rolled over to Lindsay this morning and said, "Hey, Lindsay. Want to be on the show?" Because I said, I think, because Lindsay sits right near us in the pod, and poor
you
Lindsay.
You enjoy my presence so much.
We do enjoy your presence, but we imagine that you have to deal with us just nattering on all the time for years now. It's been, I imagine that we're annoying to you on some level, right?
I feel like it's the other way around, because every time I have a random question that Google could answer, I just sort of yell it out, knowing that one of you guys has already written about it earlier in the day.
We're helpful then.
So thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
And wait, we must be have we never been annoying on any level? Some of the conversations.
Everyone's annoying sometimes.
Talking about music and pop culture. No, but I enjoy those conversations.
Okay, that's good. And then you have Andrew Siciliano, who we love, who is essentially like having a play-by-play announcer in the newsroom at all times.
Of the entire day. Play-by-play of the entire day. And by the way, my favorite thing about Andrew, little-known fact, he's read every article about everything every day.
And it's not just sports.
He will make you feel so inadequate because every day it's, did you read this article in the New York Times about ISIS? and I'm like, no, what?
Right.
That's how you get to the Olympics.
I'm focused.
That's how you end up sitting in a room in, where was it, Sochi?
Sure.
He wasn't actually in Sochi.
Oh, well, all right. Never mind.
But yes, hosting the Gold Zone coverage.
Okay, so Lindsay's here, and that's exciting. I think, Lindsay, there's more history is being made. You're the first female to sit in on the podcast.
That's
so
true.
Congratulations on that. More music, please.
Can we pat?
Yeah.
I'm patting myself on the back.
I broke the barrier.
I like this kind of party.
We're extremely
glass
progressive.
Glass ceilings breaking everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
We had Kay Rich, a female as well, producing for us for a while. Now we got
that's
Lindsay
accurate.
Here.
We just did also
we're different.
Have
on it's the, not a boys club
on
here.
The crossover podcast. We did also have Mrs. LaFell show up. Brandon
LaFell's
wife.
Yes, Brandon LaFell's wife checked in.
Oh, so I'm not the first. That's what you're saying.
Well, as a sit-in host, you totally
that was officially the damage.
You are raining on my parade all day long today.
TD, who asked before we started, Lindsay, you host Around the NFL?
Right. Yeah,
it's only like one of our most important shows.
How about this? When I first started here at the network, I actually did a film shoot with Lindsay. I bet Lindsay does not remember this. At UCLA, it was like a White House thing.
TD operating as a comprehensive buzzkill right now.
Exactly.
All right. All right.
See, now I feel bad.
No, don't worry. We're good. All right. So before we get into it, we got a nice show today. We have Malcolm Butler, not the Super Bowl MVP, but could have easily been the Super Bowl MVP. He's going to be in studio. And, Mark, I know you are a classic journo, and you have some hard-hitting questions, so I'm excited for how you approach that interview. So we have Malcolm Butler coming in. That will be great. We're going to play one of our games, Who Do You Trust? And we're going to dig in on the free agent wide receiver market and maybe, you know, go into some different categories across the league. And before we go check back in with TD for headlines, I just want to something we talked about on the last show, Wes and Lindsay. I don't know. Do you watch The Bachelor, Lindsay?
I am this season.
Oh,
I got
my first
in.
Season, too, on The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. It's not my first season.
Okay.
I am a Bachelor expert. I had abandoned the franchise, though, in the last few seasons. I sort of started to feel a little dirty, but I've been pulled back in this.
Did I get back in at the right time? Or did I get in for the first time at the right time?
I feel like this is an entertaining season, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, the show came up in our crossover pod on Tuesday, and Wes is the lone single man amongst the Around the NFL group here in Culver City. And I started kicking around a thought in my head about some type of Wes Bachelor experience with our listeners. I don't know if we have a ton of female listeners, but Wes, are you open to a potential scenario where we reach out to the audience to find you a date?
I'm open, but with the caveat that obviously it would be kind of a bizarro Bachelor considering I never go on dates.
Yeah.
I just refuse to go on dates. So
and Lindsay,
they don't involve helicopters or fantasy dates.
Lindsay, no. You're a married woman. You have a young child.
Interested.
You were in the game at a point in your life.
At a point.
Wes is, as Mark and myself were, Wes needs to at least change his stance on not going out on dates to get married, right?
I've heard that's an important component.
Well, I have been.
You don't listen to me. Listen to Lindsay.
I've had a girl engage herself to me, and then I lived in Sim for 8 years. So I have experience in these areas. You just become friends first, and then you date.
All right. Well,
but
anyway,
I don't really go out on dates.
That's working for you.
Wes is like.
It has in the past.
Dip heavily into friend zone, and then try to work your way out of that.
Right. But it has not worked in L.A., I've found.
Wes, as you know, one of my New Year's resolutions is for you to have a girlfriend.
So that's nice for you.
I think that we need to do something. And maybe if you reach out to us on our Twitter at Around the NFL, if maybe you want to call into the show and maybe we could have a conversation that the rest of us can, you know, be involved with, and maybe we could get a love connection. I don't know.
I think that would be a good idea.
Well, I have a couple of requirements.
Okay.
Oh, no. Boy.
She has to be a pistol. She's got to be.
All right, pistol's okay.
Yeah, she's got to be a firecracker.
All right, my wife's
and
a pistol.
And like we said last podcast, I can't be a submissive woman. I can't have that. And she's got to be flawed, incredibly flawed and interesting.
Is he asking too much right now? Lindsay's like,
there's a lot
what
happening
am I doing
now
here?
I mean, no, but that's the list of things. You must be flawed.
Yeah, those are the top two things in the list. A flawed,
aim
interesting
high
woman will be very funny.
Do you mean like a giant scar or something? Like, what are we talking
I wasn't
about
going for that. Maybe like an emotional scar, you know?
Based on our listeners, she'll probably also be from like New Zealand or Wales. So
that would be preferable.
I think this would be a good move for you, though, because I don't necessarily think that trying to elevate somebody from the friend zone is the way to go.
It's hard.
That's every girl's nightmare, by the way.
No.
That you have a friend.
Could be her
and that
trying
then
to
randomly that
no,
person
no, no
is going to try and bust out of the friend zone. You have
that's
to
not
be
the way
the
I'm approaching it. It could be her trying to bust out of the friend zone with me. I mean,
this is some real. This is the other side of the aisle here telling
what,
you.
Isn't
what that
love friendship caught on fire?
Lindsay, answer the question.
What is that a reference to? I'm missing that. I would suggest that. Yeah, maybe that spark should be there initially.
I can't
believe friendship part is obviously huge, but I think maybe if you start off as friends and you just are friends, maybe you're meant to be friends.
I can't believe Vince Lombardi hasn't chimed in yet.
I was very respectful to the lady. That's all it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
How come you're not respectful to us?
That's a really fair question.
All right,
it's consistent
TD
with you, by the way.
TD, buddy, let's do some news. Why don't we?
Oh, snap. I got to document this.
Wow.
And that is Lindsay Rhodes on TA yesterday, Total Access with Brandon Browner, going over some tweets and some stuff. So she was like,
oh, snap. I got to document this.
I did say that.
You know, I
recognized my voice, but I was like, where did you get that? And it was from yesterday.
It was from the photo shoot from 2008 that TD was spying on that he referred to earlier.
My memory is
kind of
at
a sneak attack.
The old shoot. That's what it was.
I need a little ginkgo biloba. Or
all right. Good job, TD. I like that. All right. Let's get into some news. We'll start with Josh McCown, who was released. By the way, Josh McCown, was he number one on our Making the Leap list last year, or was he 25? I can't remember.
He was last.
Okay, he was on our Making the Leap countdown last year. We thought he was going to be a really nice addition to Tampa. Didn't work out that way, obviously. Not a good season. He was injured. He didn't play well. The Bucs stank. So he was released on Wednesday. And, you know, because, again, I've said it earlier, Lindsay, you sit nearby. The man, Mark, is a hardcore journo. And he
made
a list.
I don't know where this is coming from. But
where will quarterback Josh McCown land? So let's start with this. Is Josh McCown, right off the bat now, the best free agent quarterback on the market?
Well, Dan obviously sets me up to refer to an article that he wrote, which was the
Thank
best
you
free agent quarterbacks. And we argued that you had Mark Sanchez number one. No one should be number one. The list should start at number two. There is no best. This is all a disaster scenario if you're bringing any of these guys in as your starter. And McCown, two quarterbacks in the league had a worse total QBR than him. He was abysmal. So I'm not sure why we're suggesting he's some sort of hopeful solution for this season.
I don't know if we'll go that far. I mean, Lindsay, do you think that Josh
McCown?
I'll
skew negative.
Well, I mean, we all can easily skew negative with quarterbacks. Is there any way that a team could talk itself into what he did in Chicago for 6 weeks or so 2 years ago, and that maybe the right coach and the right scenario, he could be that guy again?
Sure, because you have teams that are really desperate out there. I mean, if you make the list of all of the teams that are lacking in quarterbacks and you essentially look at the draft and you say, okay, maybe we've got two guys that can come in here and start right away. Maybe.
Like, yeah. You will get work.
Then yeah. How in the world are some of these guys are going to end up starting, right?
Out of all the guys on your
that
very
are free agents?
All the guys on your very depressing list.
Yes.
He's the one with the most recent good game tape. I mean,
Brian Hoyer, I mean, now granted,
yeah.
You know, kind of
Wesleyan
went downhill
does not,
as the season
went on. He does not
on,
acknowledge that Hoyer exists, so.
Well, I don't acknowledge that he's a viable starter, but
he had a good start for the year.
You're looking at a lot of guys that are, they're all flawed. And Chris, I've heard rumors that you like people that are flawed, so I'm surprised you don't enjoy
true.
This list.
Physical monsters is what Wes is looking for.
Sean Hill, maybe, mm-hmm. as somebody who could potentially be shown flashes of somebody that's capable. None of these guys are going to step in and rescue your franchise.
No.
Well, Mark, your list here you have as potential destinations. You start with the Ravens at one, which I imagine goes back to their new offensive coordinator.
He actually, I mean, McCown said yesterday that was a logical landing spot for him. And maybe if you're 35 and Mark Trestman's there and you actually don't want to be a starter at this point, you'd like to just collect $2 million a year
the Matt
and
Moore
ride
move.
Off into the sunset, Baltimore makes sense.
How about the Bills?
Number two on Mark's list.
Well, they make a little bit of sense. They need, I mean, he can fill the Kyle Orton role. Just don't mess it up.
Here's the thing with the Bills to keep an eye on, Mark. We did an NFL Now hit this morning where we were talking about this. The Bills, they can't stand E.J. Manuel, let's be honest. I mean, you had the neckbeard in there taking meaningful snaps last season. You don't have a first-round pick because of your Sammy Watkins trade. Of all the teams that are in a bad quarterback spot, to me, no one's worse off than the Bills. And to me, that's an upgrade, Josh McCown. Even if he's like the middling Josh McCown over E.J. Manuel, they need to bring in somebody that can compete. And I think if they bring in somebody that's halfway decent, he's going to win that job.
Yeah, and they're going to be a run-heavy team with Greg Roman, I think, anyways. So that makes some sense. They have, you know, the one thing that happened to him in Tampa, there wasn't a center, a guard, a tackle, or a tackle in front of him. It was a terrible offensive line.
No running game.
Third most sacks in the league, Tampa. So it wasn't a good setup for him to begin with.
How about your boys, the Browns, Mark? Any chance?
Well, why not? I mean, they've run through, what, 22 quarterbacks since 99 at this point? You haven't had one quarterback play all 16 games in a season since 2001 in Cleveland. So why not throw him into the mix and have him start?
He's such the guy, too. They have that famous jersey that some fan made that has all the names on the back. And now they have tape under the jersey with more last names of quarterbacks of the past. McCown, I feel like
they've already got that on there because of Luke.
Oh, my God.
They drafted Luke.
Double up on a McCown.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is the situation with Josh McCown. Whatever team gets him, you're not going to get somebody that you're going to have. He's a bridge guy at best. Right, Wes?
That's correct.
Okay. Moving on. So Vikings owner and president Mark Wilf was asked by a reporter about Adrian Peterson and if you'd like him back with Minnesota next year. Obviously, Peterson has his issues. He has a suspension with the league going back to his arrest for using a switch on his son. Ugly business. So he's still suspended. And Wilf responded, yes, I would like him back as long as he takes care of his issues with the NFL. Lindsay. I'm curious if it's that simple, because to me, when you look at $12.7 million in salary due in 2015, a whopping $15.4 million against the cap, this is stuff that running backs don't get paid at this level. And Wes, you wrote a great piece last year just about that. They're paid at the level of, what, punters and kickers now?
Yep.
Isn't it more likely that when Peterson clears his legal hurdles and league hurdles that the Vikings are going to be like, take a pay cut or take a walk?
Because this is their excuse to do that?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, they have some leverage right now, I would think.
I mean, when you look at this situation, this is a PR situation, right? Like, for a team, when he comes back, that's where you take a hit. Because he was still playing like right. Adrian Peterson. It wasn't like we'd started to see his decline.
Right.
So you expect that the decline will happen soon because he's aging as a running back. He's got more tread on his tires. But we haven't seen it yet. So I don't know if he's not going to be able to get big money if he doesn't go back to the Vikings, and if he goes somewhere else and he has a lot of success, I don't know that that's going to be easy to stomach if you're a Vikings fan or
that would be hard. That would be hard for the Vikings to explain off. That's a good point.
And yeah, like we talked about it, Mark. It would be very interesting to me if he ended up a free agent and they hit an impasse financially with the Vikings and Peterson. He becomes to me the most intriguing free agent on the market since Peyton Manning in 2011. And with he is an interesting test case because running backs don't get paid anymore. But there could be a I would think there could be a feeding frenzy for teams wanting to bring one of the best running backs of all time into their building, right?
Well, I think it's interesting that sort of the climate in Minnesota, it seemed like the front office was mixed. A lot of their football people wanted to keep him and still want to keep him, and the PR people don't want to deal with the headache. So maybe it makes sense for him to go to a Southern team where what he did isn't as big of a black eye because it's more accepted in the culture. So one of the Texas teams or even the Saints, something like that might make sense.
With the Cowboys, I've heard that floated.
Yeah.
With DeMarco Murray, obviously, you know, they're trying to figure
out
that
situation.
Such a Jerry
Jones move, too.
Would you pick Adrian instead of?
The only thing there, I mean, that makes so much sense, and it's been whispered about, and it is a Jerry Jones machination, but you aren't going to pay DeMarco Murray what he wants, but you're probably going to have to pay more for Adrian Peterson. Now, arguably, Adrian Peterson just a better running back. That's fine. But Jerry Jones has a history of overpaying his own guys. So I want to see what happens with Murray first and how they deal with that. I don't know. Peterson would be a total Dallas Cowboy type hard waterfall.
My question is, like, obviously Peterson is a better running back than DeMarco Murray, but and even I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt even after being out of the league now for a year. But how much better does that make the Cowboys? I don't know. It's like, why mess with a good thing? If you're going to spend a lot of money at running back, if you let Murray go, why not just pay him in the first place?
Because the only concern really with Murray, right, is that he stay healthy. Because we haven't seen him do that consistently. This past season's the first time.
Yeah.
And we saw what he could do this year with a full healthy season, also with a very good offensive line that's worth pointing out. But I'm not so much – I agree with you. I'm not sure how much better Adrian Peterson could make the Cowboys.
Right.
And you're also talking about an older running back whose decline might start sooner than DeMarco's, assuming that DeMarco could stay healthy.
We have doubted Adrian Peterson physically before.
Well, you did. That was an embarrassing moment for you.
It was just me. But he ripped up his knee incredibly in December and then ran for 2,000 yards. So I could see him having a longer prime than other players, but still.
And he's going to be mad when he comes back.
Right. Yeah. That's
he's going to have something to prove.
Angry
yes.
AP.
He's an upset individual.
Tricky spot here because.
What was that, Mark?
Said he's an upset individual.
Oh, that's true.
It's a little bit tricky because he's not due to come off suspension until April, which is a month after free agency. It could leave him without a dance partner or at least one not willing to match what the Vikings were scheduled to pay him.
All right, moving on. So the Green Bay Packers, this report came out over the weekend, NFL media insider Ian Rappaport, and he can only be referred to by his full title here. It's in his contract.
NFL media insider Ian Rappaport?
Yes. So Ian reported over the weekend that Mike McCarthy, Packers coach, was going to give up play calling to Tom Clements, who was getting a promotion. So that was surprising because – and now it's official. We found out it's official that he is now – Tom Clements is calling the plays. The Packers had the number one offense this season. They had the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, won MVP. So on some levels, it was a surprising decision. McCarthy talked about it on Thursday, explaining that it was a commitment issue, that he was getting spread too thin.
Well, that was obvious in the NFC title game.
Wes, tell me, is this a strange move with Mike McCarthy?
It seems like fallout from that game, but to me it's the opposite of what you want because Mike McCarthy's greatest skill is calling games. I mean, he's one of the best in the league at it, and he's terrible at game management as far as strategy and when to call timeouts and when to review plays and kind of the momentum of the game. That's not his strength, but play calling and scheming is what he's really good at.
Well, maybe it's not his strength because he hasn't been able to focus on it entirely.
Fair point.
Maybe he's so worried about the next offensive series that he can't see the forest through the trees, sort of. So maybe you take that out of his hands and he becomes better in those game management, situational football.
That happened with Garrett. I mean, it took them way too long to figure out how that whole situation was. One other thing he mentioned, though, was that, you know, the Mike McCarthy coaching tree is pretty grim. You've got Joe Philbin, and that's about it.
Guy hates when you have untied shoes, doesn't want bubblegum on the field.
And Joe Philbin walking down the combine hallway in a white turtleneck and, like, cords. Like, that's not the only thing you want falling off your coaching tree. But he basically
a lot of Joe
said,
Philbin hit at the podcast here, Lindsay, just so you know.
It's
go
fair.
Ahead, Mark.
I mean,
big topic of discussion everywhere.
He wanted his coaches to grow up and to get
in the spotlight.
Yeah, more notice. And I think that that's actually, you know, McCarthy's been knocked around since the NFC title game for good reason. That's kind of a good quality in a head coach to want to see your guys grow and move on.
Do you think that that's it, though? Do you think that's what this stems from, or do you think this is like, let's really go back and look at the NFC Championship game and all of the ways that this team didn't perform down the stretch? Maybe if he isn't calling the offensive plays, he takes Bostic aside, or not Bostic specifically, but he can go into that huddle and he's thinking special teams and he's saying, here's what to do. Don't try to do too much. Just do your job. And he can just do those simple little reminders where he's looking big picture and thinking big picture.
Like, had they won, would this have happened?
Well, that's a crazy thing about sports, like not just the NFL, like how things change. Like, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a ripped up calf, I think they win that game, and none of this is happening. There's no changing of play calling, but like things that minor things that turn into big things that change everything. Butterfly effect, man.
But this isn't just the NFC Championship game, right? He's been knocked for game management stuff for a little while now.
True.
So I agree with you. It wouldn't have happened had they gone to the Super Bowl, because it's like a why mess with a good thing type of thing. But I think that doesn't mean that it didn't need to happen.
The timing's interesting.
Here is something that happened a couple days ago, but I think it happened after our last podcast. Wes Welker, reportedly, according to Mike Garofalo of Fox Sports 1, is contemplating retirement. This is the same Wes Welker who signed with the Broncos 2 years ago and really has not been the same guy that he was with New England. Wes, he seemed especially slow and unable to get any yak this year.
I don't think he made a play all year.
3 concussions in 2 seasons in Denver. If he steps away, it seems like that would not be the worst idea.
I don't like the idea of telling athletes when to retire.
I do. I've made the decision. You should go for it. I'm going to call Wes.
But I do feel like he's reached a point where he's no longer an asset to a team, so it's probably a good time to move on.
More importantly, I think I'm concerned for his health. I think when you have 3 documented concussions in 2 seasons, that's very concerning. And you don't know what the long-term effects will possibly be and what one more concussion could possibly do to him. And if I'm his family, I'm very, very concerned about his health.
Yeah, like, and we don't even know, since the NFL has taken a harder stance on concussions and things of that nature, we don't know what was happening. He's like a 5'9", 5'10" receiver. He's taken a beating for over a decade now playing football at a high level. I mean, this guy's been through a lot. He's taken a lot of hits. What's the smirk, Mark? What's going on?
I had a concussion once.
We're talking about
in a minor car accident.
Here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You worked through it.
Yeah, and Greg, you know, Greg Rosenthal, our boss, who is off at the moment.
Paternity leave.
Yeah, suggested that I come in and work through this concussion and wrote 9 or 10 posts that probably were, absolute travesty for the reader.
We need to find those posts, by the way. We need to find those posts because they're now in lore and around the NFL history.
No memory of it.
They let you back on the field.
By the way, and Lindsay, you're hosting TA this week. You know full well that the year everyone likes their milestone years. There's the 5-year, the 1-year,
silver anniversary,
silver 100-year anniversary, and of course the 23rd anniversary.
That's a huge one.
Everybody likes to dig in on the
23rd. Unbeknownst to us,
yes,
still yesterday afternoon, it's a huge anniversary.
Brett Favre and the Packers. That trade went down 23 years ago, Wednesday. And Chris Wessling, you wrote an enlightening piece. The mailman dug in on how this all came to be, from the Falcons almost to the Jets, and ultimately the Packers.
It was a momentous occasion, 23 years to the
23
day.
23 years ago.
And, of course, our shadowy league figure, John Marvel, asked me to write this. And Mark and I wondered about the whole 23-year thing, but we just did it as we were told, and we were told that Mooch would be discussing it. So it was nice to dig up some of the old anecdotes with Jerry Glanville basically saying I had to get rid of this guy because he wouldn't sober up, and then Favre saying I tried to drink the whole city of Atlanta.
Which, by the way, point being, like, if now a team traded for a quarterback that threw 4 passes, 2 of them were picked off in your rookie season.
One for a touchdown.
Right. You're essentially, heat-seeking rehab. Mm. And a team comes out and drops a number 1 pick for you, Twitter would absolutely melt.
It would be like trading for Johnny Manziel tomorrow.
Even worse, I think, because Manziel had the pedigree coming in where there's some mystery around him. Brett Favre did not have that to the same degree.
And, Wes, just to make me depressed, what happened with the Jets, who almost came into possession of Mr. Favre.
Ron Wolf, who was recently inducted into Hall of Fame, or voted into the Hall of Fame, had been a special assistant to the general manager in 1990 for the Jets. Mm. And he rated Brett Favre number one player on the board. The Jets would have used their first-round draft pick for him, but they had forfeited that pick for Rob Moore in the supplemental draft the year before. They tried to trade up in the second round to get him, but the Falcons got him first.
Lindsay, you well, Brett Favre has a good relationship with NFL Network. He's been involved with shows through the years. Do you have any good Brett Favre stories in your time as an anchor?
I feel like I'm missing out.
Mm. He is off at a distance.
But I don't. Yeah,
now he is. He's got the woolly beard in the meadow.
I feel like the relationship with the network is really forged through Steve Mariucci, right? Mm. Who came on Total Access last night and
coach's show
and remembered that momentous day that the Packers had traded for him. He had just been hired as their quarterbacks coach, so they kind of came in together and wore some really beautiful short shorts together during that time frame. Yeah, it was a really good look, and by that I mean not a good look.
The best Brett Favre shot is the one where he got drafted, and he's in his childhood bedroom and all
with
like
the jorts.
His uncles and aunts. He's got jorts and a mullet, and there's all this like 1989 paraphernalia all around him. And you've seen on the internet they have people that have pointed out like all the different things that are crazy about
Lindsay
him.
Wisely pointed out that Mooch, he had his own photo of him and Favre on the field. And Mooch cropped out the short shorts so that right up, they come up to here.
You never know.
No, and that was a smart move, probably from Mooch's wife. Who knows?
And finally, the St. Louis Rams have officially elevated Frank Cignetti to offensive coordinator, replacing your boy, Mark Sessler, Brian Schottenheimer.
Not my boy.
The only reason, Lindsay, this
finally,
is brought up.
Say.
Yes.
We've all been waiting for that move.
2 years overdue.
The only reason I bring this up is because we, and maybe you agree, love the name Frank Cignetti because it sounds like a hardscrabble detective. Detective Frank Cignetti on the case. Pretty good, right?
Sounds like an Italian pasta.
Oh, wow. Some Frank Cignetti. We have any other good names where they sound like 70s TV show detectives or pastas?
Jim Bob Cooter. The Lions quarterback's coach? Sounds like he's right out of Duke's head.
That's fair.
It doesn't sound like that guy would be successful. I feel like he would struggle with halftime
adjustments. He'd get a case or two. It would never be solved, and he'd quickly be fired.
A case or two of beer.
All right. There we go. That's what's happening. Lindsay, that was...
Oh, snap. I got to document this.
I'm going to watch what I say on Total Access.
Wow, TD is monitoring all things at all times.
I do like you bringing snap back to the lexicon of society. It's good.
I was trying to think if I could blame that, like if I was reading a tweet, but no, actually that came out of my mouth.
What about Shaq? We have a great one with Shaq, so you feel better.
Come on, player. What's that? What's up with that?
That's from a top 100 this summer. You might remember that happening.
That was when he was doing a hold on player segment in honor of Dion.
Can I hear that again? I never get sick of it.
Player. What's that? What's up with that?
That's awesome how he stutters through it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, where am I going with this? But I sang in character.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about the wide receiver free agent market. And in general, let's play a game. We haven't played it a lot. It's called Who Do You Trust?
Who?
Who do you trust?
No one.
Selling that.
That Wes, see, that's another issue with you getting a girlfriend.
Many issues.
Your trust issues have to get better.
Yeah, many.
You answering no one when I ask, who do you trust?
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's a problem. It's a roadblock.
Lindsay's like, this is not going to work out for Wes at this stage. He needs like a makeover.
There are a few concerns that have popped up just in the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, there are even more buried.
Hey, ladies, like I said, hit us up on Twitter. He's available. All right, so let's play a little Who Do You Trust, and we'll go through. Wes, you have a piece. Is it up now or is it heading up? It will be up by the time people hear this.
True.
On the wide receiver free agent market, which is pretty juicy.
It's stupid. It's so good.
Yeah.
There are so many good wide receiver names out there.
So, Wes, why don't we start? Just a general overview, and then maybe we'll dig in on a little bit about what this market looks. It is a buyer's market.
The free agent class is already strong just with the guys who are available heading in. Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas will probably get the franchise tag if they don't have new deals by March 10th. And then you've got Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin, Torrey Smith, three guys who are in our top 25 overall free agents, and then Michael Crabtree and Cecil Shorts will probably be in the top 50. So there's five names right there that will probably be available. And then you've got high-profile veterans who will be asked to take pay cuts or basically hit the road.
Interesting. So let's break it down. And who do you trust? Here we go. And we'll put them in their kind of similar categories, or they're on the same level, maybe close to it. Mark, I'll start with you. Who do you trust, Percy Harvin or Randall Cobb? Big financial stake, looking to get a import a one or a kind of like a 1B type receiver. Who do you trust?
I mean, that's easy.
Okay.
You go Cobb. I mean, Cobb's been highly productive. Where Harvin, you know, honestly, what has it been, 2 seasons since he's given us any real production? He's injury prone and potentially a massive locker room cancer.
Can I just throw this out there, though? Would you be saying the exact same thing flipped around if Percy Harvin had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback the last few years?
Maybe. But he also, injuries aren't about what quarterback you've had. He's been.
Cobb got hurt last year.
No, all right, but it started with the headache thing, and then it migrated into other issues. And I really do think that, also not quarterback related, Harvin has been jettisoned from multiple locker rooms for being, you know, a guy that disenfranchises the people around him. So I can't say that about Cobb. I mean, that's easy.
I agree with you.
Let's get tougher.
Okay. Linz, here we go. Can I call you Linz? Have we reached that stage?
We're so tight. Okay. Yeah.
You can call me D-Money. Nobody else does, but you can.
Yeah, that would be a first.
People are always asking, like, Dan, you give all the guys on the podcast nicknames. He's Sizzler or Quiet Storm. He's the mailman. I also call him the scientist. I call Greg the boss. I don't have a nickname.
You called yourself the Zeuser earlier.
Well, Zeuser.
You're not allowed to give yourself a nickname.
Exactly.
That's right. I don't think you're D-Money. You could be D-Sixpence.
We already have a D-Money in the newsroom.
All right.
That's fair.
Stay on topic. We're working on it. But you can call me D-Money, Lindsay.
I'm going to come up with a nickname for you.
Okay, cool.
Next time I come on the podcast in like 3 years, when I'm invited
we'll
back.
Get you on.
Things are going
faster
swimming
than that.
Right now.
I will have one.
All right, who do you trust, Lindsay? Larry Fitzgerald or Brandon Marshall? Two guys that are not technically on the market, but it could with a couple of twists. End up both of them being free agents.
Ah, that one's tough. That one's much tougher than the one that
I had to give Marcus softball for reasons that I'll get into later. I want to really lay it out there.
I'm gonna go Marshall, I think. And I'm not totally sure why. Maybe the size advantage, the mismatch, the fact. I don't know. They're both so good for totally different reasons.
It's almost a pick 'em.
5 years ago, Larry Fitzgerald was, you know, arguably the best wide receiver in the league. Is he ever going to be that guy again, or has it just been quarterback play that's held him down? That's like the big question with him.
He had a 5-game window last year in the middle of the year before Palmer got injured and before Fitzgerald had a sprained MCL, where I thought he looked as good as he had since 2011. He was electric after the catch, and it was surprising because we hadn't seen that in a couple of years. I don't think he is what he once was, but I think with the right quarterback and a coach, Bruce Arians spreads it around quite a bit, which is not what Fitzgerald had when he was putting up great numbers. But if you put him in another offense, I think he's still a number one receiver.
See, here's the thing, though. So does Larry Fitzgerald need to go to a specific offense in order to show off his skills? Can Brandon Marshall change the offense just because he's such a mismatch?
Well, I don't think that Marshall's any more of a mismatch than Fitzgerald is. They're both big guys, and Fitzgerald's been one of the best red zone guys his entire career. So I'd say they're both mismatches.
All right, I'll throw this one. Wes, you're up. A three-name group here.
All right.
Who do you trust, Jeremy Maclin, Torrey Smith, or Mike Wallace?
That's a tough one.
Hubba hubba.
I don't trust any of them.
Mm.
Mike Wallace and Torrey Smith are both kind of one-trick ponies, deep threats who are limited in their route running. Jeremy Maclin seems to be a product of his offense, where he played the same position as DeSean Jackson, and they both had career years because they're playing the X spot in Chip Kelly's offense. I guess I'll take Torrey Smith because there might be a whiff of upside there that has been a little bit untapped so far.
I feel like Jeremy Maclin, you're saying he's a system guy.
Is he
the guy that gets overpaid like a Greg Jennings a couple of years ago? He'll come up a little later and then kind of disappears into obscurity?
I think he's a 900-yard receiver in most offenses, and I don't know if I quite trust him to stay healthy yet either.
Is that fair to throw Greg Jennings into that box, though? I mean, I guess there's no way to really know, but you looked at a guy who is in his prime with the team that you're going to say makes him a system guy, and then he's kind of past his prime a little bit,
right.
And then he goes to another team, and we say, it was the team that
they
made
him pay
so
him
good.
Like
it might just
though,
be that
Vikings.
He's past his prime.
Well, the Vikings might have overpaid him, but they should have known they were getting a guy that wasn't 25 entering the sweet spot.
Macklin's going to get paid a lot, whether it's the Eagles, who I think are – he's in a good spot because I think the Eagles are going to feel like they have to pay him because they let DeSean Jackson go last year. They're going to have – Riley Cooper fell off a cliff last year. They need somebody they can rely on in that offense. I think he's going to get a lot of money.
I think we can agree we can take Mike Wallace out of that.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Wallace and trust are two – you know, they're not fitting together.
I don't need to hear anything about – Mike Wallace, who pulled himself out of a game and then had a teammate speak for him to the media after the game. I hate when guys do that kind of stuff. I can't take you seriously anymore. All right, another group.
Dan's a real journalist. That doesn't vibe well with Dan.
I'm a journalist. You're a journo. Difference. All right, here we go.
He is big on the nicknames. He even shortened journalist.
He loves to.
All right, so we brought up Greg Jennings. So we'll throw him out here. One more wide receiver grouping. Who do you trust, Lindsay? Greg Jennings, Marcus Colston, or Dwayne Bowe? Kind of in that hard B to B minus group now.
Yeah, that's
trust to do what?
Or Michael Crabtree. Yeah, right. Let's throw him in there. Crabtree,
Cecil Shorts. Should we throw Vincent Jackson in there? Well, he'd be the easy answer probably.
Well, now I can't even remember who you
said. There's like
26. Like eight names.
All right, who would you, if you had to pick one guy to add to
AFC
your team,
East,
at a middling salary, not too much guaranteed money, Dwayne Bowe, Marquise Colston, Greg Jennings, Michael Crabtree, or Cecil Shorts?
I'm eliminating Dwayne Bowe.
Okay.
I'm going to go backwards.
Seems fair.
And I forgot the list again.
Okay.
Maybe you should start
I'll
with someone
else. I'll go one by Marquise Colston.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That, I won't eliminate him.
All right, Greg
I'll
Jennings.
I'm in the mix.
You think he's over there?
I'm going to eliminate him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're nice. Lindsay won't say stuff like, oh, he's finished. But we can say that. But I see.
Well,
Lindsay's
she probably has to talk to him a week from now.
Yes, exactly. Cecil Shorts.
I hate telling people when to end their career. Isn't that what
Thank you.
I said? I'm sorry, Cecil Shorts. You're like, focus, Lindsay. Good grief.
Well, we could all just agree these are all guys that are not going to really be difference makers once you get to this level of the market.
Right.
They're kind of
Crabtree. Crabtree.
Yeah, I'd go Crabtree.
I like Crab.
Yeah.
Out of that group. Yeah.
Put him in an offense that throws the ball well.
Exactly.
How about that?
Maybe you have some untapped potential there.
All right. I like that. Mark, let's talk some GMs. Who do you trust, Reggie McKenzie or Ray Farmer?
I like Ray Farmer. He's a guy that he's got his hands in a lot of different stews. He likes to text
and on his
people.
Phone. Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to get involved on, you know.
Who puts their hands in stews?
I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of
that's
sense.
That's how you get your hand burned. Mark with a burn on his hand right now.
Well, listen, you know, a lot of people can take Ray Farmer and say, oh, your first round was a disaster. But if you look at what he did last year beyond that with guys like Joel Bitonio, Chris Kirksey, he found a ton of undrafted talent as well. In you know, the running back situation, I thought that he did a nice job adding talent over the field. Hold
be
on.
Fair though. I just got to cut you off a second. Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert in the first.
I said that's the big disaster there potentially, and we don't know that's not a finished story. But yes, but then when we did a thing on the Raiders earlier, and we talked about all the potential free agent cuts that they might need to save money, and these are all aging people. They're guys that McKenzie signed last March. So that to me is he already in terms of his draft, he goes and gets Khalil Mack. That's a home run. That's not hard to do as a GM. But his own free agent class was a gigantic tire fire. So I'm not excited about McKenzie.
I think that's fair.
And we're going to hear from Raiders fans.
But more than Farmer over McKenzie, you're saying? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We won't hear it from Raiders fans. We've already blocked them all on Twitter.
They are. Yeah. They're sometimes not nice. Who are the Lindsay? You, I'm sure you have to deal with a lot of vile things on Twitter. Who is the fan base that you have to deal with the most that are annoying?
I would say the fans that respond the most to anything that they perceive as a slight is probably, I'm going to go with the 12s.
Yeah.
Yes,
no
they are
question.
Sensitive.
They are a sensitive lot.
They jump on a lot.
Mm-hmm. They're like new money. Like they don't.
Right.
They haven't been there for a long time. So
they are a social media mafia.
Easy.
They feel a lot like
true,
things
TD.
Are slights that are not.
Right.
You cannot mention Andrew Luck's name without also mentioning Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I get a lot of tweets about how I hate the Seahawks, and I 100% do not hate the Seahawks. And
yeah.
I wonder
None
where
of
that
us
even comes
hates
from.
The Seahawks.
Yeah.
Well, you told me privately that you did, but
other than that,
well, that was in a safe space, a safe sharing space, Dan. Yeah.
Good. All right, here we go. This one will be I don't know. Throw this one to TD. All right, here we go.
What you got?
Who do you trust? Mark Sessler at an indie bar at the Combine work trip, or Wes at a West LA tavern on his birthday? Which is next week.
And what are we talking about trust here? Let's clarify that. Trust to dance on the bar?
Open. Just kind of keep it open. Just who do you trust in that spot?
I don't trust neither, but I think I'm going to have more fun with Wes.
Wow, I don't like that answer at all.
Wow. Why do you think he would be a better partner at a tavern?
Yeah, you know, just hanging
out. I like being underrated, and let's start right there.
In TD's defense,
they're both fun. I can vouch for that.
In TD's defense, you did open the show by calling him a comprehensive buzzkill.
No, I'm just dealing in facts.
All right.
But calling Kelly Black.
All right.
Tesler, I think that you would be a lot of fun at a bar in Indy.
Absolutely.
I like that combine.
Nobody's more fun to hang out with than Mark Sessler.
Well, Mark is a lot of fun. All right, you guys, we
Except
get it.
For you, that was apparently at a tavern in West LA.
Good times.
All right, a lightning round for Lindsay now, because we got to go soon before we get to Malcolm Butler. Here we go. Who do you trust, Lindsay? Andrew Siciliano or Scott Hansen?
Oh, come
quick,
on
quick,
now.
Quick.
No.
quick.
Absolutely not. I'm not
All
playing
right.
this game.
Okay, who do you trust?
To have read the most articles in a day, Andrew Siciliano.
Ooh, there you go.
Who do you trust? The Mailman, Quiet Storm, or Old D Money, the Zeusa? Who do you trust?
All of the above.
All right, good answer. Who do you trust? We got another one for her? Quick.
Kurt Warner or Deion Sanders?
She's not going to answer that either, right?
To do what?
You know, to watch your child for a night.
Well, that's clearly Kurt.
Kurt,
I mean,
oh, Kurt would
Kurt
be a
has,
great babysitter.
He has so much experience
dad.
In that department.
Yeah.
And Kurt, I will say, is always the guy who asks about my child.
There you go.
When I run into him.
That's a good signal.
How's the family,
I have
that
found,
kind of thing.
I have found.
Deion would teach my kid. My kid would be like saying hashtag truth when I got home. And if his first words are hashtag truth,
yeah,
then
troubling. That's
I have a problem.
I start.
Wes, this is one other reason that we got to get the Wes Bachelor going. I have found that having a kid is a great conversation piece with just at like, let's say we're at the combine and we see a reporter at Shula's. We'll talk about our kids. Everything's fine. It gives you a jumping off point. That's the main reason I had my son Jack.
Yeah, that's
just
good. The conversation,
get out of awkward situations.
Icebreaker,
right?
Yeah,
a verbal coffee table piece.
What if I don't want to speak with these people?
Well, I mean, listen, then you a lot of hurdles. You got to open up your heart, Wes.
I am a degenerate. There's a lot of issues here.
Again, ladies, this could be yours. So just
only if you're flawed.
Thoroughly undateable.
All right, so we got Malcolm Butler coming in. So because we only have four mics, it's literally a physical issue. We got to say goodbye to Lindsay. Who's got, by the way.
I'm going to document this.
I'm getting kicked out.
We got more. By the way, Lindsay has bigger fish to fry. She's hosting the flagship program of NFL Network, Total Access.
Before that, I will be picketing outside the fact that I have been kicked out.
Best in-house guest of the podcast history?
Top six, I would say for sure.
Top six? Have you had six guests?
That's not where I was going with that, Dan. But
no, Lindsay, this was a great time.
Okay,
we have
have
to do
a great final segment.
Lindsay, this was a great time. I hope
Lindsay here, Burger here.
Taking shots of Burger. You could tell Burger that you beat him.
I won't, because he'll cry about it.
We'll hear
Burger's a very sensitive individual.
No. Yes.
All right, so Lindsay Rhodes, thank you very much for joining us. Lindsay Rhodes' Twitter handle is at Lindsay Rhodes.
At Lindsay, and then what's
underscore?
At Lindsay underscore Rhodes.
Yeah, so hit her up on Twitter, but be nice.
Probably
and,
cost her at least 10,000 followers.
12-year-old in Indiana or something.
Yeah,
is,
exactly.
You know.
All right, Lindsay Rhodes, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Lindsay.
Thanks.
All right, Lindsay is out the door, and in her place in the seat to my right now is the man that made one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. That's a real thing.
That's not hyperbole.
That is not hyperbole. He is defensive back for the New England Patriots. Malcolm Butler, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast, Malcolm.
Thank you for having me.
This has been, guys, a long day for Mr. Butler. NFL AM, which tapes here in L.A. at about, I think, 1:37 a.m. is
at
when
we
start the show. Malcolm was there. He's going through what they call the car wash, and he's here with us, and it's very exciting. We were at the Super Bowl. And in fact, Malcolm, I remember right after the game, you know, they took you into the first room where the risers were, and I asked you a question, and of course you remember my face. It was like a big interaction we had together. Probably not. But I remember asking you, and this is probably 45 minutes after the game happened, right? We were with the scrum. I said, has it kind of set in your mind yet that you just made this play and like this life-changing type play, and you hesitated and you said, I don't know, man. It was such a big play. When did it really click with you that you had made one of the biggest plays in NFL history?
You know, I think like 2 days after that, it was on my mind. I was asleep. I woke up, and I really just, you know, just put everything in perspective, and I was just like putting myself as a fan
right
on the couch or at the game in the stands, and I'm going for the Patriots, and I know we finna lose.
Right.
It touches the heart. But you know, I thought about the play I made and changed all those feelings and gave hope and just changed the whole big idea about losing to a winning situation. And I probably had a mini heart attack a couple of times, but I'm managing it well, and I'm just glad I could help my team win.
It's a fairly unique thing to be in that position to play that's watched by that many people. Mm. Not many people get to experience what you did.
No, you're right. I really thought about it, and you know, this big for any rookie.
Yeah.
That's a big play for any rookie to have and make. And man, it's just unexplainable at times.
Huh.
One thing, I mean, in that game specifically, I remember at halftime we were reading some stuff from some Patriots reporters. And they said, this guy is suddenly playing a ton of snaps in the Super Bowl where we haven't seen this amount of play from him in other games. You're cutting your teeth on the biggest game of the year. What was it? Did you know go in knowing that you might play a larger role? Were you prepared for that? Or was it just they said, you're in, let's roll?
Yeah, you know, of course everyone wants to play. And when I'm out there and I feel like I can make a play or two, and I'm going to feel like I want to be out there. But overall, I'm just always ready whenever I get my opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I remember one game, Reeves was down, and I got in for him. And I remember another game, I was ready to play, but I wasn't prepared. And I got in, didn't do so well. Mm-hmm. So after that, you know, I just got to stay ready. And when I get in, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play ball.
You were prepared this time. That whole final drive was great for you because you have the first play where you knocked the ball away, and then you knocked the ball away from Kearse. He ends up catching it, but you have the presence of mind to get up and tackle him, and then you make the play in the end zone there, which will be one of the best plays ever. That's a great series
and
for you.
You bring up the Kearse play. I mean, and this is the crazy thing to me. When I was writing up the post after, I was thinking about like myself in your shoes. Like that play with Kearse, when he juggles the ball and comes down with it, if they go in the end zone, that is the play that this Super Bowl is remembered by. And who's in coverage on that play? Malcolm Butler. So Malcolm Butler is Rodney Harrison on the catch play, the helmet catch. He's the guy that is in coverage and the guy, the glory boy guy. It was like the about turn from being the guy on one side of the coin to the other is unprecedented. I mean, that's how close you came to NFL infamy. That's crazy too.
Yeah. When they made that play, well, I jumped up for the ball. I found the ball, broke it up, and I was falling down. I was like, okay, good breakup, good breakup. But, you know, as I roll over, I try to get up fast. Oh. You know, my momentum had me. You know, I was ready to play. I was amped. And I looked at him, and he had the ball. I was like, hold on. So I just ran over to him. I tried to punch it out, but, you know, he had it secured, and he got out of bounds. So I came out on that play, went to the sideline. I was in pain, you know. I know we're a team, and it don't come down to one play. Well, it does, but if we would have lost, I would have felt like that was the play that changed the game. So I'm on the side like, I ain't going to be able to get through this. I'm finna have a bad off season. So they call goal line three corner. I'm like, three corner? They must finna pass it. But I'm like, nah, they're not going to pass it because they have Marshawn and Lynch. So
we saw that they actually had errors on the field first, and then the coaches caught the alignment and had you come in.
Yeah, they called three corners, and that play came up. I told Browner, jam him good.
And he did.
Yeah, so I can get around because I knew exactly what was going to happen. I got beat on the play at practice. I was late on it. I took a step back, then went. And I didn't know. I wasn't sure if they was going to pass. But they got Marshawn Lynch, so I'm thinking they're going to run it in anyway, so I might as well take a chance. But that play came to my memory when I seen the guy stack. So I said,
wow,
for Forget it. I'm just going to go.
You jumped that thing.
It's almost as if the Patriots are well coached. I don't know. Yeah. Hey, TD, behind the glass, you are, and Malcolm, you should understand this if there's weirdness that you're sensing, the biggest fanboy of Russell Wilson in the game right now is TD. So, TD, this is your chance to talk to Malcolm.
Well, Malcolm, you know what? Like I said, in the moment, I also was at the game, and I kind of felt like some type of way what you did to Russell. You know, that wasn't cool. but I would say this, though, going back and watching the, you know, NFL films, you know, replay of the game, and big ups to that play you made. Like you said, you clearly went for broke on that one. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to jump this pass. But on the flip side of that, do you really think, I know you're happy for your Pats and happy that you won the game, but do you think how crushing that was to Seahawks fans? Because I still contend that I'm not fully a Seahawks fan.
You are definitely a changing, Seahawks fan.
But I was crushed, man. I was crushed because right there at the line, right there at the Super Bowl, getting taken away. Do you ever have time to think of what it must feel like for Seahawks fans?
I bet it takes up a lot of his thoughts.
yeah, of course. You know, that play that the guy caught on me, I guess I can say I feel that way when he caught that ball, and I think the game was over with.
Very
so
true.
The same feeling.
I hear you, man.
Malcolm, a couple of quick things because I know you got more stuff to do within the walls, and thank you for joining us. First of all, you got the Chevy. Brady gave you the Chevy or had it get to you. You know, $15,000 in taxes they're reporting. You know, maybe Brady, you know, we're gonna slide you a brown paper bag, right? Like he can't afford it. Like let's if you're gonna give the man a truck, let's give the man a truck. This is your chance to say on our podcast, Tom Brady, give me money. Go ahead.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm thankful for whatever I get, and you know, that's a 2015 Silverado.
Yeah, it's a nice truck.
You're not gonna get no brand new truck for $15,000 nowhere.
So, it is a good deal. All right, the other question, we were talking about this over lunch, Mark.
You know, you saw Brady's reaction when you picked that ball up. Are you on the invite list anytime Brady has people over for crumpets and tea or whatever it is he does at his house?
I mean,
are you going over there at this
point?
You
would have seen Brady has an infinity pool and Giselle is involved. Are you in the club now?
I'm not sure. If he invite
me,
you know, I'm more than welcome to come.
You have to be.
And beyond that, so let's see. I assume that Brady better invite Malcolm Butler to parties going forward. Maybe he's part of the Illuminati. Do you know what that is? The secret society? Are you potentially, and you don't nod if you can't say it, are you in the Illuminati now that you made the Super Bowl play?
Oh, not at all.
Oh.
Well, you've clearly gone A-list, though. You've been making the rounds all week. Now you're the guy.
Oh, yeah. What was scary, the Grammys or the Super Bowl, to walk up on the stage or to play in the biggest game of your life?
Oh. That's a tough one. I don't know. I'm not sure. That was a tough one. Well, I guess the Super Bowl was more exciting than the Grammys was. Okay.
That's your field, yeah.
Who wrote the joke about you intercepting the Grammy? That was a bad joke. I know you didn't write it. Anyway, Malcolm Butler. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations again. Obviously a nice guy, and it's good to see an undrafted free agent become a hero.
Yeah.
And best of luck to you going forward, and thank you for joining us.
He's all right.
Thanks, Malcolm.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Malcolm Butler, out the door. Nice guy, Alex.
What
nice
a delight.
Yeah. I liked him.
I think it's like he's still in that afterglow where he's, for the first time as an NFL player, being asked anything. And it's got
to
be
It's good
crazy.
To see he hasn't been spoiled by his week and a half of success.
That's fair.
Really
and
proud
by
of
the
guys.
Way, what was that?
I'm really proud of you guys because before the interview, our booking team was like, he's very shy, he's very humble, he's going to be really quiet. But, you know, you guys got him to speak, and even when you guys were just making jokes, he was laughing. He was
That's what we do.
We're having a good time.
Oh, it's almost like we're professionals, bro.
Hold it down.
Anyway, it was great having Malcolm in the studio. We will be back. We are going to the Combine. Mark and I, Wes, you are holding the fort down here in Los Angeles. So, the next time you hear from us, we'll have some type of hookup going on where we'll give you a combine report and we'll do some good stuff. I think Monday and Thursday, is that correct, TD?
It's TBD. Me and Greg's working on this as well. Potentially Monday and Friday.
Okay.
You know.
So keep an eye out. Monday is the next podcast from us. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansis signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, and TD Behind the Glass, and Lindsay Rhodes. Thank you for joining us. Linz, I call her. Until Monday.
Oh, snap. I got a document.